Been a good year for the cherry blossom trees, and we have President of the Tree Council of Ireland, Enni Launa. How are you doing, Enna?
Great, Ray, and yourself?
Good.
You're well.
Good, yeah, great. I always enjoy talking to you.
That's nice of you. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
You have a new book out, Our Wild World,
which
covers everything, does it?
Yes, it's from the birds and the bees to the boglands and the ice caps. And in it, I explain, Ray, how the world works. And it's for people who want to know how the world works, but really can't be understanding all these scientific things. So I explain what pollination is, and I explain what hibernation is, and the migrations, why the birds go away. We can all understand that.
Yeah.
But why do they come back? Why don't they stay in Africa where it's nice and warm, for example?
Yeah.
And all of these things I'm explaining in my inimitable way. You know, pollination is not a wonderful thing that the bees have a meeting every morning and do. They just decide they're going to the pub for a drink, and the pub isn't much good. You only get one mouthful, so you have to go off to the next flower for another mouthful, and the next flower, and the next flower. The pollination happens by accident.
Okay, will you explain this to me then? Just before we get to the cherry blossom trees, the migration of birds and how they're able to travel so far year on year and return to the same spot. What is it? What have they got?
Well, it's hardwired into their system. Again, they don't have a meeting and decide where we're going. It happened, they reckon, after, the Ice Age is when the world opened up again. And obviously, when the world had covered in ice, you had ice down to the middle of France and similarly in the other hemisphere. And the world was smaller. So then as the world became bigger, there was more food further north. And of course, the big thing is that it's daylight for so much longer and birds feed in the daytime.
Yeah.
So if you're down in Africa, hold up for the winter because it's too cold to get insects, because these are all insect-eating birds that we have in summertime. Why wouldn't you stay there? Isn't there lashings of insects in Africa? But the hours of daylight is still 12 hours long. So if you come further north, like up here to Ireland, I mean, we're having the dawn chorus tomorrow next week at before 6 in the morning, and the days are getting up to 18 hours daylight. So as you can see, you have far more time to
More feeding time, yeah.
And the geese that go further north, I mean, they come down to us for the winter and then they go back up to the Arctic. And I mean, have me grand grass here. Why are they going away up there? Why can't they eat our grass? And it's because they've 24 hours daylight to rear the young up there, you see. So it's to do with the length
of
light.
They're greedy. Listen, we're getting
I know, if you defeat good starving young people with only bloody grass, you have to eat so much grass. You do a poo every 7 minutes. Imagine doing a poo every seven minutes.
Imagine doing that. God, no.
Like that's what geese do. Do you ever play football over in Fontenoy over in Dublin Bay and the whole pitch is covered in goose droppings? You'd know all about it.
Every seven minutes. God, the amount of loop
that's what they reckon. Yeah. Someone did a PhD in this. People have little to do. But it's, you know, you have to in and out. So you need a lot of grass for that.
You need
daylight to be doing it. Anyway, that's what's the store. Anyway, you can read all about it in Our Wild World.
Our Wild World,
in all good bookshops. Enni
Launa. We're getting lovely pictures coming in of the cherry blossom trees from all over the country and the petals and the showers and all that. Why have they had a particularly good year this year, or are we just noticing them because we're in lockdown?
Well, yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
They had a good year this year because it didn't wind. There was no wind. We had, as you were commenting on the weather being good, it's a real stupid tree to grow in Ireland, really, because these are ornamental cherry trees, and they're grown for their blossom. They're Japanese trees, and they epitomise in the Japanese culture this Buddhist thing of thriving in the moment. So like, there's just a fleeting moment and you must thrive in this moment and be content in the moment, and the flower, the blossoms will last for about a week, a fortnight at the most, and they start off in the lower half of Japan and they go up, because Japan is a very long country.
Yeah.
So it takes from March to May for it to go up the whole country. But it's only a fleeting moment. And here, normally, the wind comes at the same fleeting moment and it's even more fleeting and they all blow away. But this year we had a good year for the cherry blossoms and they stayed around for quite a long time. And then people were more out this year. They needed to be cheered up. And of course, the cherry blossoms are beautiful.
Yes.
And they do cheer people up indeed. So like, it was a good year for them. But you know, they're a waste of space. There's no fruit on them. There's nothing to eat. These flowers, and then nothing comes. They're ornamental ones. Not the word ornamental.
They're a thing of beauty.
Yeah, but a cherry tree with fruit on them is a thing of beauty too, and you have fruit afterwards.
Right, okay.
So why can't we grow fruiting cherries rather than ornamental ones?
Right. Well,
because the same thing would work. You have native Irish cherries, a thing called the wild cherry and the bird cherry. They have lovely flowers on them in spring like the other ones do. And they have berries. They have cherries on them later on, which are food for the birds, food yes. for the pine martens. And then you can grow stuff in the garden, cherry trees in the garden.
Okay,
and
have so why too. Didn't the people who originally planted these lovely cherry blossom trees, why didn't they think the way you're thinking?
Oh, I don't know. Good marketing, I suppose. Yes. The other thing is that the cherry blossom trees, the Japanese ones, have very shallow roots. And if you plant them in towns, they burst the footpaths.
Right.
And local authorities have had to take them out because people have fallen over broken footpaths caused by the roots of the cherry trees.
Yeah.
If you notice them, anywhere in towns, they break the footpaths and they only live for about 60 years. So I'm all in favour of cherry trees if you get fruit on them as well. Not just a crowded hour of glorious life. Leave that to the Japanese
yes.
who want to thrive in the moment. I want fruit afterwards.
You're wrecking me buzz in an Ilona. Can you tell me, there's pink ones and white ones, is there, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, there is, of course. And there's all kinds of paleness in between the white and the pink.
Yes.
And some of them go from white to pink, and there are even cerise ones. I mean, they're every shade of pink to white.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful. I remember when I was in college, there was a whole load of them in UCD on the terrace.
Yes.
And the fellas would be chatting you up. They'd throw something up in the air and all the petals would come down upon you and you'd feel like a queen. So I do appreciate what you said there about the lady and the petals on
her
head.
But here's the thing.
I mean, you sort of feel like, I don't know, a bride or something with this happening to you.
But
it is very nice.
It is nice. And you speak of UCD because I run there every morning and they've planted new cherry blossom trees. I don't know if they're fruiting ones or not. But there's a lovely little pathway through them. And every morning...
I was talking about the terrace.
Yeah, I know.
It was Earlsford Terrace.
Yes.
But yeah, out in Belfield, they have a wonderful woodland set up out there.
They are lovely.
And the cherry trees are probably ones that are suitable for the area because they have a great woodland scheme. There's lots of trees planted out there.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
It's beautiful.
So enjoy your run through the flowers.
It cheers me up. So,
well, it does, of course. And I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about nature and people being down in the dumps and feeling oppressed with the way things are at the minute. By getting out and about and communing with nature, not having yolks stuck in your ears and listening to Spotify, but actually looking and hearing what's happening in nature. It's very, very good for your mental health, you know.
It's brilliant. And they say that bird song is particularly good. You know, they've done research on this, like your person with the goose and the 7-minute poo. So this weekend, we can recommend the Dawn Chorus. I was reading a bit by Derek, who is the presenter and the producer. The 26th year of it.
That's right. We've been going since 1995 and the Dawn Chorus is, I think, made for radio because it's what happens. The birds are in the woods. It's still dark. It's getting bright, but not bright enough to hunt. They all hunt by sound. But you have to hold on to your territory. You have to make sure the others know you didn't die in the night or nobody stole your missus. So this is the males all singing and it's war cries. I live here and I didn't die and you hump off and you think you're coming in here. And that's what they're at. And they're listening then to hear the other fellas singing back. So it's a wonderful sound. And they all have different ones. So the song of the blackbird is different to the song of the thrush, and that's different to the wren.
Yeah.
And the ones with the big eyes, like the blackbirds, they come on first. The ones with the small eyes might come in later on. The blue tits and the great tits have small little eyes, so they're going to be later in the chorus. And then you have the bass notes with the crows and the jackdaws going caw, caw. And then if you're lucky, and I'm down in Clare now this weekend, so hopefully I'll hear the cuckoo as a lovely falsetto in the middle of the whole lot. So the Dawn Chorus is a wonderful way of showing us that, you know, nature is just about to waken up. And then once the sun rises and it gets a bit brighter, they can't be singing about just hanging around throwing shapes anymore, and they all go off to work. So like, you want to be there from about half an hour before the dawn to about half an hour afterwards to get the full glorious sound of it. It's great.
So you're in Clare.
We're broadcasting all that live. We'll be standing there at our posts, standing in front of our microphones
at
4 in the morning until 7.
And people all over Europe, Wales, Scotland, and I've listened to it in the past, and it is glorious, and it's a major feat as well, technological feat, to get everybody in from all over the place.
Absolutely. And I mean, one year, because we had it wasn't COVID and things, we had a really good one. We started off in India, where of course you're further east, so the Dawn Chorus was earlier there. And it comes in a wave across Europe, you know, so that it's earlier over in Russia. We had people from Russia on, we had people from Norway on, and then we got nearer and nearer and nearer to Ireland, and then the west coast of Ireland. because by the time you get across the ocean, we'd certainly gone off the air. On Newark, they won't wait any longer, we get the boot. But, you know, that wonderful sound and the things that were making the songs in India, completely different to the things you're getting songs from here in
Amazing.
Ireland.
Amazing.
It was all the same urge to protect your habitat, to protect your missus, and to say, I've survived the night, I'm still here, you know?
1 o'clock to 7 o'clock, Saturday night into Sunday morning, with Derek Mooney, Eanna Launa, Niall Hatch, Jim Wilson, the whole team there, and people all over Europe. Eanna, thanks so much.
Collins,
mind yourself.
Yeah,
as I say, I love
I'll do
talking
me best. You mind yourself too.
Love talking to you. See you. Bye.
On behalf of me and the cherry tree.